Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the late founder of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. This message was originally preached on December 23, 1951. The title of Dr. Jones' message is Not Peace, But a Sword. The text is from Matthew 10, verse 34.
You know, I remember when Jesus saw the multitude and went up on the mountain where he was set down, his disciples came to him. And I often thought about that sermon, just in the simplest sort of way. He said the most profound things. Simplicity always has been truth's most becoming garb. Those wonderful beatitudes with the disciples at his feet. Great crowd back yonder and on the mountainside. And he's up there sitting down talking to his disciples. So it may be that here today, in a little simple, sort of informal way, we might help somebody in a way we couldn't help them. I've had a few people, just to be frank with you, said to me, you know, Dr. Jones, I get so much more out of your little talk in the morning when you just visit with us than you do when you preach on one of the big services. Well, you, in character, when you have a big crowd, it's not easy to stand up for a big crowd and make a dynamic connection between yourself and the crowd. Well, it does something to you. I can't describe it, especially if you've been doing it all your life. But there's no reason to sit down in a radio studio, just a handful of you at home, and be hollering at you. So I'm just going to visit with you today. I have a wonderful text. It's rather revolutionary. It's been holding my heart all the morning. And it may not be much of a sermon, but it'll be a little informal visit. And I hope you'll listen closely, every last one of you. Now, if you'll get the baby quiet, you know, babies can break up a meeting sometime. But if you can just get the children to be quiet now, and nobody be disturbed, and you can sit there. Or maybe you're in bed and you can listen. This might be the best service you ever attended in your life. I think that'd be wonderful. That's all we want. We're not getting any pay for preaching this sermon. Nobody's hired us to do it. We're not on any salary this morning. The only thing we desire, if I know my heart, and I'm sincere about this, the only thing we want is to glorify Jesus Christ and try to get a blessing to somebody's heart. Now notice, I came not to send peace, but a sword. That's part of the 34th verse of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now he said, think not that I came to send peace to the earth. Don't get that idea. Don't get the wrong idea about me. It's strange about how the world's always been inclined to get the wrong idea about Jesus Christ. When he was here on earth, they said so many different things about him. The Bible says he endured such a contradiction of sinners. Some people said he's a son of Joseph. His brothers and sisters are here with us. Some said that he was doing all he did in the name of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They said he was in business with devils, that he'd formed a conspiracy to work with Satan. Think of what they said about him. And some of them said that he was a prophet, just a prophet. And some of them thought he, of course, was just a man. Some of them thought he was conceived out of wedlock. Strange ideas they had about him. They saw him walking on the water and they thought he's a ghost. He wasn't even real to them, and he isn't real to some of you listening to me now. Somebody says to me, he isn't real, do you? And you remember on the morning when a woman saw him in the garden, she thought he was a gardener. She said, the gardener's out here. And, you know, a gardener, as I've said so many times, never creates anything. All a gardener does is to bring out from nature what's already there. Some people still think of Jesus as a gardener. He's not the creator in their estimation. He's simply the one that brings out the beautiful things in human nature. What a strange idea the world has of Jesus Christ. Now, he was a gardener, but he was also the one that put life in every flower and painted every rose that bloomed. He sent the rain, the sunshine. Then there would have been any life without him. He made all the gardens in the world, planted all the flowers ever bloomed, all that. Many things they said about him, in a way, were so, some of the things they said were true, but not all the truth. Now, you can be deceived about Jesus Christ, and people are still deceived about him at this Christmas time. strange ideas the world has about Jesus Christ. You know, when he was born, his choir, that heavenly choir was his choir. I wonder how many choirs he has today in the churches of America. I'm just wondering. I'm not saying, just asking. I wonder how many people are going to sing solos today that are his solos. Or are they singing for themselves or because they're paid for? Wonder how many quartets he has out in this country. They're his quartets that sing with the spirit with which he'd have people sing. I really wonder how many churches he has, to be perfectly frank with. People in the churches there at Christmas time all this country, I wonder how many of them are really his church. And we preachers might ask ourselves a question. I'd like to preach to myself this morning. Wonder how many preachers he really has, his preachers. You know, in the old dispensation, they had prophets. They had prophets. God had prophets, but the priests, you know, and sometimes didn't like God's prophets, and they turned around and hired their own prophets. And these prophets, employed by the priest or the ecclesiastical machinery, went out in the world and said what the machine wanted them to say, not what God wanted them to say. Just whatever the machine said, say, they say it. You know, I wonder how many people they are speaking for an ecclesiastical machine, or and how many are really speaking for Jesus. Now, this angelic choir was his choir. He made all the angels. Some of them are fallen angels, but not in this choir. That was a heavenly angel host. It was not fallen angels. There were no sinners in that choir. Everybody there was in harmony, and they sang on pitch spiritually. It's nice to sing on pitch as far as your vocal cords are concerned. But, you know, it's much better to sing on pitch spiritually, even with a poor voice, than it is to sing on pitch from a purely musical standpoint, without having any spiritual pitch in your heart. Now, this was his choir. He set the pitch for them, that little baby in Bethlehem. It was his choir. He was directing that orchestra, that heavenly throng that sang that day. Now, what do they sing? They sang peace on earth, goodwill to men. Or peace on earth, as somebody's translated, to men of goodwill. Now, Jesus Christ didn't come to introduce a soul. That was not the purpose of his coming. He came to offer peace to the world. He came and offered peace. Now, the reason the world's never had any peace is it wouldn't take what he offered. Don't get the wrong idea now about this thing. Let's understand it. Now, the first anthem that was ever sung on Christmas was sung by a choir that Jesus Christ himself directed. He trained them up in heaven. We read in heaven about the angels hiding their faces and crying, "Holy, holy, holy." There they are, up in heaven, singing the praises of God. And there they are, his holiness so wonderful, they hide their faces and cry, "Holy, holy." The light's so bright, we can't look at it. They knew who Jesus was. They knew what happened. They knew who had been born. You know, heaven was a little lonely. One of them was gone. The Son of God, Jesus was always the Son of God. He was not always the Son of Man. The Son of God became the Son of Man. But he'd always been the Son of God. God's Son was away from home that first Christmas. Some of you mothers have sons in Korea today. And some of you have daughters away from home. But God's Son, only begotten Son, ever blessed Son of God, had come away from heaven's noonday to earth's midnight. And had came practically unnoticed, except by a few wise men that were looking in the sky for a star, and some shepherds out there that wondering about the thing, maybe going along the ordinary routine. But all at once, a heavenly choir began to sing. His choir. Oh, I can't get away from that. You know, sometimes I've been in evangelistic campaigns and have great throngs of people, maybe 1,000 in a few choirs. Always maybe 100, 200, and sometimes 500. And I've seen a great many of them converted. But we've always rather careful. We never brought people in to let them sing just because they were highbrow in the community. We never brought him in just to sing because they were prominent people. I've had some of them want to drop in just once in a while in the meeting, you know, on a big occasion. have some person to sing because it's a big crowd and a big opportunity. We were always a little careful about that. But we always had some of God's singers. And maybe sometimes some got in there that really couldn't mean what they sang. But this was the Lord's choir. And while he was a little baby in Bethlehem, little baby, unnoticed and unknown, out with the cattle, his choir praised him. You know it's a wonderful thing to praise Jesus Christ and to praise him when nobody else is praising him. It's a wonderful thing. Marvelous thing, isn't it? You know, people praise our communities sometimes. And I know grandmothers and grandfathers that never fail to speak up for their grandchildren. Always praise them, you know. My grandchild so-and-so, say. And sometimes people get bored, see. So this heavenly choir, though, on this silent night, said, let's sing about it, see. And over that baby's cradle, on waves of the air, and then waves of the ether later, that chorus swept out through all the universe, and today is echoing around the rocks and valleys and mountains and across plains on worlds that probably telescopes have never found. And that chorus will go on forever. And it said, peace on earth. Someone's come that would like to fix everything right, would like to bring peace. And he's the author of peace and the only one that has peace to offer. No League of Nations can give it. No organizations of men can produce it. How can a man who has no peace in himself produce peace in the world? You produce according to what you are. You can't produce something that you don't have in you. An artist can't paint a picture unless that picture's first in him. You can't do good till you get good. You can't do righteous things till you're a righteous man. These men can't give peace. They can't get along with each other. How are they going to give us peace? They assume that man's all right. When you talk about men living together in this world in peace, you're assuming that men are naturally peaceable. Well, they're not naturally peaceable. Jesus offered them peace. And his choir sang peace on earth to men of goodwill. And he went on. And he hadn't more than been born until the issue of Christ had been raised. And it was a heavenly issue. It was an issue. Listen, the Christ issue is an issue from another world. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. God Almighty speaks over the battlements of eternity. This is my Son, hear ye him. This choir wasn't an earthly choir. They didn't have any assembly up there in the temple. They sang it out of the sky from another realm. This world is his world. He made it. He created it himself. All things were made by that baby. He made all things, and all things were made by him and for him. But he was kicked out and shoved around, and man took it over and tried to run it. And for 4,000 years, he'd fill the earth with battlefields. And on every community, there was a grave. And folks grew old and wrinkled and tired and sick. And they fussed with each other. And the world was filled with strife. And this country went to which he came in Bethlehem. That land was under the heel of an iron government. A government of blood and power. A government that was cruel. Think of it. And yet he says, here's peace. If you'd like to have it, you can have it. But the world has to take peace on his terms. The world hasn't got anything against him. He's never mistreated this world. The world's nothing against him. He was tried by the courts. They trumped up false witnesses against him. And after everything was done that could be done, even the judge that tried him walked out and said, I can't find anything wrong with him. And he tried him in the midst of excitement with human prejudices and hatreds running wild. If any person ever went to court with an unfriendly situation and the cards of circumstances stacked against him, it was a trial of Jesus Christ. And yet he said, there's nothing against him. And washed his hands and didn't want to take the responsibility of what the mob did. And you can turn on the white light of history, and you can't find until this day one flaw in the life of Jesus Christ. He went about doing good. When they stoned him not for something bad, but for something good. He offered them peace. Now, what's the matter with them? Why didn't they take it? Well, they didn't take it because they didn't want his terms of peace. And there'll never be any peace in this world until his terms are accepted. He has something against the world. Though he loved the world against whom he had something against. He prayed for his enemies on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. He talked straight to them. He didn't mince his words. But he loved everybody in the world. He loved sinners, and sinners flocked around him. They accused him of loving sinners, receiving them. The world's got nothing against him. You're a sinner. You have anything against Jesus Christ. Except one thing. He's good and you're bad. He condemns you by the way he lived. So, when he came along the world, started out, and hadn't more than been born, they were trying to kill him. And the angel had to come back in heaven and said, they're going to kill this baby. And they pulled up and moved out to another country to keep him from killing him. Tried to kill him. Government even did it. And he went on down through the years of his life, persecution after persecution. Now, you take the crowd out there. They were glad to get what he had. He's still the despised, rejected one. It's Christmas time. I was thinking about it this morning. You know, the people over there in the desert, that desert place, when they were all hungry, and he fed them, they were glad to get some fish. They were glad to get some bread. They didn't mind that, see. Nice to have somebody to feed them. Nice to have a spirit like that. But I'll venture that some of that same crowd said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I'll venture that at the cross, that day when he hung there in agony and shame, that some of the same crowd said, crucify him. Now listen just a minute. Nice to have Christmas, isn't it? Good time for business, you know. Nice time to have a good celebration. Buy products, you know, Christianity. Helps business. Oh, wonderful, yeah. So it was in his day. They were glad to get what he had to offer. Woman's baby is dead. She's glad to have somebody raise a baby. Somebody was sick. They're glad to get him well. Somebody hungry. Glad to have somebody could take a fish and feed a crowd with it. Save catching some more. Satisfy the appetite. That wasn't what they had against Jesus. What did they have against Jesus Christ? He condemned them. How? This is condemnation that light's come in the world. And the world loves darkness better than it loves light. The world can't stand the light, that's all. Men are sinners. They can't stand it. Now, Jesus said, I didn't come here to give peace. I offered you peace. But I didn't come to give you peace. You could have had it. But I came to give you a soul. Or to have division. What's the division? The whole battle today rages about Jesus Christ. That's the only battle. There is no other battle in this world. God Almighty has something against this world. He sent his son down here to die for it, and the world mistreated his son. And the world still mistreats his son. He doesn't sit at the head of any of these peace tables. You've got a lot of religion in this country with all sorts of superstition tied up in it. And you can sell religion to them, ecclesiasticism to them, and machinery to them, and even some ordinance to them. You can sell baptism to some people who never accept Christ. You can sell all sorts of saints to them. All sorts of machinery. All sorts of ways except his ways. See? In other words, he offered them one way, just one. That's the Christ way. He said, I'm the way. The truth and the life. Oh, somebody said there's other ways. Try this way. My way, for instance. I'm a pretty good fellow. Support my family? What's the matter with me? You mean tell me I got to get down to his feet and say I'm a poor, miserable, lost sinner going to hell and ought to go to hell? You mean tell me that? Not me. Nothing doing. I won't have him.
I'm against him. I'm not against him any other way, but as a savior. It all right as a teacher. Said some wonderful things, I know. Well, just listen to what he said. Listen, let's understand this thing. The world won't be saved by listening to what he says. The Sermon on the Mount will never save anybody on earth. You can put blessed to the pure in heart, for they shall see God on every wall of every room in this country and preach it from every housetop. That won't save anybody. It's not the Sermon on the Mount. It's the preacher that preached that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the issue. Let's understand it now. Let's get down to earth today. Let's get down to the earth and talk this thing over. Jesus was the issue when he was a baby. He was the issue in the temple when he was 12 years of age. They said, here he is. My, we never heard a boy talk like that. You never have and you never will hear a boy talk like that, because there never was any other boy like that. That's the reason nobody else can talk like that. There's only one boy like the boy Jesus. Down the River Jordan, down there, they were baptizing everybody around there. And here Jesus came. When he got out of that River Jordan, be baptized, people said, just walking up there, you know, somebody else be baptized. And God Almighty leaned over the battlements of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Say, he wasn't like anybody else. All the folks that came out of the water of the River of Jordan that day and had been baptized and hung on to John the Baptist, none of them were like. There never has been anybody like. He's the only one that ever has been or ever will be. There never has been but one Jesus Christ and never will be another. Listen, people go into court and hold up their hands and take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's the oath they take. And they mean it. But you know, as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is the only person that ever told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He told the truth. Did you know you can tell the truth and not tell all of it? You can tell the truth and have some rubbish mixed in it. Some rubbish gets in all my assignments. They always put something there before he get through it. But there wasn't anything in rubbish in his preaching. When he said something, there wasn't anything else to say. Take this one verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You could write 1,000 volumes and couldn't say any more than that. Everything's been said about. So it was with everything he ever said. He wasn't like anybody else. Now, that's the reason that Jesus Christ is the issue. He's the issue because he comes on the stage of human life and said, now I can give you peace if you want it, but you have to take it this way. And they say, we don't want it that way. We'd rather get to ourselves, our own way. And he comes along and said, now don't think that I'm here to bring peace. I'd like to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword because I've offered them peace. Strange, isn't it? Offered them peace, and offered them peace, he brought them a sword. Offered them do good. Offered to bless them, offered to save them, offered them everything, offered them heaven on earth. And because he offered them peace, he put a sword in their hands, went to fight. And the blood of Jesus Christ is on the skirts of the human race. Listen to me, men and women, listen. Don't ever tell me that people are naturally good. If the world had been naturally good, Jesus Christ would never have been crucified. It makes me sick and tired when I hear people talk about the divinity of human nature and about man with a divine spark in him. If there's been one divine spark in the human race, Jesus Christ never been sent to a cross. He wouldn't have gone there. Nobody wanted to kill him. Oh, well, you say that was back in the old days, in medieval days. They had religion in those days, like you have religion today. They'd have the prophets that came down the highway of time and told them that a virgin should be with child, bring forth a son. The whole finger of the Old Testament had pointed to that birth, Calvary, even to Bethlehem, where he'd be born. But men with ambitions, priests and leaders and rulers in the world that want to stay in power like religious bosses and want to run your churches today in this country, they're the same breed. Not the exaltation of Jesus Christ, the exaltation of a machine and bossism and religion. Same gang of folks, same breed of people as the priests. They've heard the voice of the prophets, but if the prophets did belong to that school of prophets, their own school, they kicked them out. Same crowd of them. Listen, don't pat humanity on the back at this Christmas time. Let's face the thing. The issue's here, and there's only one issue. There's only one issue about Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This issue is Jesus Christ. Bob Jones University steps out here in this day and time, has a scientific laboratory, has all the cultural emphasis of any school in this country, has high standards. But it's always talking about Jesus Christ. That's the reason religious bosses fight us. That's the reason people in the world say they're fanatics. See? That's the reason they say we're emotionally unstable. It's a lie. I don't see anybody around here except me that's a little stirred up this morning. I'm a little bit rolled up because I don't like the way you treat Jesus Christ. But everybody around here is sensible. And I've never been in the insane asylum. I think I'm a normal sort of man. I've been there to see some folks that thought I was crazy because they were crazy. But I never went there because I had to. But what's the matter? What's the matter with the world? Only one thing. Men are sinners. And if a man's a sinner, why, listen, sets a brother against brother, that's bad. But there's something worse than that. Son against father. Oh, that's worse. What else? Parent against child, that's worse. See how it goes up the scale, down the scale? Brother against brother, that's bad for brothers not to get along. One brother's a Christian, another brother isn't a Christian. And there is something in the heart of that brother who isn't a Christian that resents something of his brother has, say. Here's a child said, my mother's a good woman, a Christian woman. I love her because she's my mother. But I'm always nagged by the fact that I'm a sinner. Okay? She turned on the light by the purity of her character and her faith in Jesus Christ. And it gets so bad that the father up here steps up and persecutes his son. It lines up the folks. Do you know we've had students come to this school whose parents wouldn't do anything for them because they were Christian young people? Had plenty of money. That one girl came in, she was converted. And her father turned against her and her mother turned against her and wouldn't support her, had plenty of money. And she borrowed the money to come to school to get a Christian education. They said, if you'll give up Jesus Christ, we'll take it. That hatred's still in the world. Don't think because it's Christmas time that everything's lovely and the goose hangs high. It's still the issue. And at Christmas time, every last one of you are going to take a side one way or the other for Jesus Christ or against him. You know, over there in France years ago, in the midst of the persecution, they said to a man who had been gloriously converted, born again, had a personal experience, and the only kind of experience you can have, there's nobody can save except Jesus, and it's personal faith and personal contact and individual matter. He got saved. Persecution was on. And they were going to brand him with a hot iron for being a heretic. Got the iron all hot to put on his back. He walked up, stood there, and they put the iron on, never said a word. And they heard a woman's voice out there. Cried out, hallelujah. For Jesus and my son who's a witness. Say, they still brand them with hot irons of persecution, maybe a little different. Here's another story. Persecution came one day and they were burning at the stake in Spain, I think it was, one time. Burning them at the stake. See? For Jesus. Burning them. You know, that wasn't as bad as they do to some of them today. I've known folks in this refined day that suffered a persecution. If they could have been killed and sent on to heaven, they'd have been better off. So this fellow was there and a ruler said, bring on the faggots. If it's my own son, I'd burn him. The world is still against him. He's a rejected Christ. And you can go up against the sword, and you'll have to go up against him if you won't flinch for Jesus Christ. Some kind of a sword. Maybe a little more refined than some other sword. But you can go up against him. Now, wait a minute. There's one blessed thing. You Christians, listen. He said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Only those who are willing to suffer and take what you have to face for Jesus Christ, whatever it may be, only you have any promise of a seat on his throne when he reigns, and he's going to reign on this earth someday. You can be saved because you accept what he suffered for you and did for you. But you can never reign with him unless you're willing to suffer with him. Jesus shall reign where'er the Son doth his successive journeys roam. And we want to reign with him. Let's be true to him. May God help us to be faithful and loyal and dependable.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today was the late founder of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Today's message was originally preached on December 23, 1951. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.